Blog Talk Radio.
LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Ms. Katie Lee of SimpleCrownPod.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Condiment Ali of ContinentAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Luke Flores of LukeFlores.com in Guerneville, California. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Ms. Kat and Condiment Ali. Ms. Kat?
Hi, thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee.
Hi.
I hear that you are having fun this week with Papa Newt in New Orleans. Is that the truth?
That's the truth, ma'am. It sure is. It sure is. We're having a great time. I arrived last night, and we had a late supper, and we're down here at the Magic Fest with several members of AIR and friends and colleagues that I've met in California. And now new friends here. So we've got Mama Star, we've got Susan Diamond, we have Auntie Cindy Toto, and Orion Foxwood, and certainly my precious Papa Newt, who sends his love and wishes to be here. And I miss him already. He's just downstairs. But we're having a great time, and it's also great to get back to some good old Cajun food. That's super in the fall. But just liking strolling around, downtown last night in the French Quarter and checking out some local shops. It was really great. And we're doing Cafe Dawn in the morning. You can't come to New Orleans without having coffee from and a beignet from Cafe Dawn.
We'll have a beignet from me.
Certainly, absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, have some fun for me, too. It sounds like a great thing. And give Papa Newt a hug and Mama Star and all the rest of them, too. A big hug from
Will
me,
do.
Okay?
And yes, ma'am, and I miss you. And I wish that y'all were here, too, with me, and so does Papa Newt, and he told me to share that with you, too. So we just we can't wait to see you in May. Can't wait. So that's going to be great.
Yeah.
All right.
All righty. Well, I've got a little bit of news to report from around here. I'm working on a book, and I'm going to be hopefully getting it to the printer by around December 1st. It'll come out real soon. 96-page book on candle services and candle ministry, and we're going to get to that topic in a little bit. So that's what I've been working on all week, is writing this new book. And I have to thank a little shout-out to Joseph Magnuson for reminding me in the Lucky Mojo Forum, which is at forum.luckymojo.com, and Joseph said, how come that Candle Services Manual of Missionary Independent Spiritual Church is out of print? And I'm like, duh. I forgot to reprint it, and so I thought I'd revise it one more time. It's been through several revisions, and so that's what I'm working on. is a expanded and revised version of that. And I also want to give a little shout out to Candle Magic, who's in the chat room right now at the Blog Talk Radio show. And most of you all know Candle Magic. She also goes by the name of Love Potion. And sometimes she's Love Potion, sometimes she's Candle Magic. But that's who she is in the Lucky Mojo Forum and at Blog Talk. And she has started a blog called Hoodoo Rootwork Correspondence Course Student Blog. And it's about taking my course, my correspondence course in Rootwork, which is in the form of a 432-page book. And she's one of our oldest customers and clients in the shop, but she finally signed up for the course and she decided to blog about it. And she's the gal who has been posting all those beautiful pictures of every little corner and nook and cranny in the shop, things that I haven't even noticed myself. She just takes these great little photos of them. So I want to thank Candle Magic, a.k.a. Love Potion, a.k.a. Love Potion number 9, for starting that blog. And if y'all are in the chat room, I hope she will post the link to her blog, okay? Post the link to your blog, baby. All righty. Well, let me turn it over to you, Ollie. What's up with you?
Oh, it's been a wonderful week. Speaking of books, I've released my Santísima Muerte book, which is kind of, to a certain extent, a companion to the St. Cyprian book. So if anyone is interested in working with Santísima Muerte, I do highly recommend this book. It's a little booklet, and it gives you the complete workings of Santísima Muerte. How to do her novenas, various love bindings, which she's very famous for, how to set up an altar, her proper offerings. It goes into the traditional history. Excuse me. Goes into her history, goes into her legend. So I did release that. If anyone is interested, it's at you can buy it directly from the publisher. So it's www.hadianpress.com, and you'll see it right at the top.
Yeah, and we've ordered it for Lucky Mojo, but our we ordered a bunch of them, but they have not yet arrived. We're waiting for a slow shipment from England here.
Oh, wonderful. So you can order, because I think you guys already have the St. Cyprian book. Now you guys can order directly from Lucky Mojo.
Right. So, yeah, we have the same. We'll announce in the forum and stuff as soon as we get those books in. I was hoping to get them this week, but they did not arrive.
Yes. Shipment from England is always a bit slow.
Yeah, it's what it is. But we'll have them in, I hope, within a week, and we'll be advertising them at Lucky Mojo. We love your writing, Conjure Man Ollie. So.
Oh, thank you.
Very, very interested and looking forward to that book. And in addition to the other book we carry on Santísima Muerte, makes a nice companion to it. And your writing is always so spot on. You know, I mean, you're a good researcher and a good historian and a good root worker. So we love to carry your books.
Oh, well, that means so much coming from you.
All righty. Well, we have a guest here today, and our guest is none other than Lou Flores. So let's welcome him on in. Lou, are you there?
Thank you so much for inviting me on today, Ms. Kat and Conjure Mind Ollie. I'm so happy to
welcome.
Be here.
Yeah, welcome to the show. We've had you on before, and we're always happy to have you on again. Now, for those who do not know you, and I'm just going to give a little rundown here, Lou is a reader and root worker at AIR, Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. He is, and I'm going to mangle the pronunciation of this, but you're a Tata in the Bakongo tradition.
Yes, ma'am.
Which is an African diasporic religious tradition. And you also come out of a Latin American family, as anyone can tell from the last name Flores. And you work in Curandismo or in Brujeria, traditions of northern Mexico and Texas, right? Is that
absolutely
correct?
You know, and I'm also a Shango priest in Ifá, which is one of the mother traditions of Santería, and do you know, some like European folk magic as well.
Yeah, you're quite the multiculturalist. And here's the best part. Lou just recently moved from Colorado to Guerneville, California, which is the next town down the road from Forestville, California. And Lou is working in our church, Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, as a candle reader, a candle setter, deacon, and he's doing in-person, live readings at the church. And to tell people how they can get a hold of you for a reading if they come by Forestville or on the phone.
Oh, amazing, Miss Kat. Well, you know, I've so enjoyed working, you know, with you and everybody, all the unsung heroes, you know, here at Lucky Mojo, and just have really learned and deepened my own practice, you know, of spiritual work just in the short time that I've been working with you guys. And, you know, the best way to get a hold of me would be through my Bookio platform, which would be www.bookio, and that's BOOKEO.com. /Lou Flores, Flores.
Okay. All righty. And if you could be so kind to post that in the chat room, then people can actually click on it.
Absolutely.
And Lou is calling from the office of YIPI, Ironwood Institution for the Preservation and Popularization of Indigenous Ethnomagicology, right now, which is to say...
Oh, how wonderful.
He's in what we call the downstairs office, because you've got to go down one step from the shop to get down to that downstairs office. All right.
It's
well,
so exciting to be in, you know, the office, you know, seeing everything and doing it live from the church and everything today.
Yeah. Well, in keeping with all of this, we're going to discuss a little bit of material about the world of candle magic, candle reading, candle divination, and candle ministries. So I'm going to just kick it off just briefly by explaining that I've had a candle ministry myself for many, many years. There are, of course, many solo practitioners, as Scott Cunningham used to call them, individual people who are hoodoo practitioners who do candle work at their homes. And this is fine. I mean, there are hundreds of candle spells and many more that to be yet invented. But there is also a long tradition in hoodoo of having other people set lights for you. These would be professional practitioners, root doctors, spiritual advisors, spiritualist mediums, church ministers, and so forth. And particularly in respect to the spiritual churches of, you know, which are located all around the country, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, Memphis, Oakland, California, New Orleans, you name it. These spiritualist churches are everywhere. And these would be what we would call ecstatic black American spiritualist churches. These are not the same as the primarily white spiritualist churches. They have about the same relationship to the white spiritualist churches as the black Baptist churches have to the white Baptist churches. And, of course, there is nowadays, with the end of institutionalized racism, some crossover, but the different churches took a different paths when segregation was enforced in the 20s. And so black spiritualist churches have embraced voodoo, and they will often hold candle services, anointings with oil, the giving of amulets or tokens, and all type of work like that. And that's
prayer
the kind
cloths.
Of, yeah, prayer cloths and all of those things, which have a holiness component, Pentecostal component. And Missionary Independent Spiritual Church is one of those churches. Many of them are Judeo-Christian, whereas some of the spiritualist churches in the National Spiritualist Association of Churches, which is what we'd call white spiritualism, they don't tend to be Judeo-Christian, but virtually all of the black spiritualist churches are, as well as being eclectic and often involving spiritual contact with non-Christian spirits, such as the spirit of Black Hawk, is a well-known example. But candle services are part of it. So that's the topic of this book I'm writing, is how to perform candle services for yourself as a solo practitioner, how to seek out others who can do candle services for you, and how they can do it, what a candle service is like. And so that's kind of what the topic is. Let me just turn this over to Lou. How do you approach doing candle work for people?
Well, you know, I think one of the first things that I do, specifically also, you know, through working with the shop and just being familiar with, you know, divination, is really ask people, you know, what are their intents, you know, because most people who come looking for a candle don't really necessarily know. They know, you know, love or money or, you know, protection, but they're not really sure as to how to define that for themselves. So, you know, in talking with them, the first idea is to even come up with what is the right candle for you and how can you make sure that that is, you know, clearly in connection with what you're trying to accomplish, you know, because the other thing that I've noticed is, you know, sometimes people come in with two or three different items that they want to address through one candle. And, you know, mm-hmm. that might not necessarily be the most constructive way of using that resource, you know. And so, mm-hmm. you know, definitely after talking to them, then, you know, the next step is actually, you know, addressing the issue. So, you know, once again, through divination, finding out, you know, what are the specific herbs that are necessary to, you know, remedy the situation, if a candle can even work to begin with, you know, or whether another ritual or spell would be more appropriate for that need. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, during that whole time, just being able to, you know, share space with the client and just, you know, really assure them that their needs are going to be addressed in the way that they, you know, need it, because there's this immediacy or this urgency, you know, whenever someone, comes to you. And so, you know, those
hey, Lou, I've got to break in a moment. We're getting some people in the chat room saying that your voice is very soft and they can barely hear you. So talk louder, okay, honey?
Oh, okay. Is that
all
better?
Right. That's louder. Okay.
Okay. Perfect. Sorry about that, everyone. So, you know, the first thing that, you know, I was talking about was just that initial how do we select the candles that we want to choose, you know, and mm-hmm. using divination to provide that type of support. And then, you know, being so, you know, well-versed with plant spirit medicine and knowing which, you know, plants and different things address those issues to be able to then load it with the appropriate herbs and minerals and oils that would, you know, best rectify that situation for the client.
Well, back up. You used a word that most people who come to this radio show know, but there's going to be at least 10 to 20% who don't know what the word load means, okay?
Oh,
so let's
definitely.
Just talk about to load a candle, all right? Loading a candle means to either carve little holes in it or poke holes in it with a tool of some sort and pack something into it, okay? Could be whatever it's loaded with can vary, but that's what we talk about when we say to load it. And what you're talking about is the kind of herbs and roots that are used to load the candle for the purpose of the person who's having you set the candle.
Absolutely, and really being able to identify, you know, what is best for that, you know, specific, you know, situation. So, you know, understanding how to formulate a recipe that would be used to load, you know, that candle. And, you know, thank goodness for you that, you know, we have you as a resource that we can always ask here at the shop if we ever have any questions, you know, as well as, you know, just our own training and, you know, resource as well. But, you know, that has been one of the most interesting, you know, things here working at the shop is just seeing how we're, you know, loaded to or trained to load, you know, candles here. Growing up in Texas, the way that I was taught to load candles was to actually, you know, use a knife and carve out almost like a big block or chunk of the candle and then load the herbs and minerals and oils down on the bottom and then replace the candle wax on top. So that, you mm-hmm. know, just different regional distinctions on even how to load, you know, and what does mm-hmm. that look like. And then taking it from there, you know, once it's loaded, how to construct the, you know, petition. So, you know, mm-hmm. does it make sense to just write the name, you know, three times with the birth date, mm-hmm. or does it make sense to encircle that that name with the petition that you're trying to create with a three or four word phrase that would evoke that for the person. And so, you know, definitely taking the client through those steps so that way they can feel that they actually have a hand in the process, you know, so to speak. And then from there, you know, is, of course, the lighting it and putting it on the altars. And then the fun part for me comes in on the back end of divining the candle. Once it already is, you know, lit and burnt on the candle, how then, you know, do we explain the you know, what the results are to the client, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's a real brief way of looking at candle divination. And just my own reflections from being, you know, here and seeing the amount of candles that pop in is just the idea of, you know, how much we are all in need and just in need of reflection, you know. And so many of the petitions that I see, you know, is just that idea of trying to find a resource or an outlet for attention, whether it's through money and trying to be able to attract more money in the door, or, you know, safety around, you know, people who are gossiping in the office, or, you know, malicious energy, or, you know, any of those things that, that really have to do with that reflection of, you know, just our value, you know. So one of the big things that, that I've learned how to do, and that has helped me deepen my own, you know, practice with candle work, is just you know, really being able to hold the voice of what the real intent is, as opposed to, you know, the illusions on the wall or these symptoms, you know. So there might be, you know, these you know, very different symptoms. Okay, so I have a gossipy coworker that's, you know, at my job. I might, you know, be suffering through money problems. I might, you know, also be having some love complications. So, you know, should I burn a candle for each of those three, you know, issues, or is there a deeper issue which could be remediated through, you know, like an uncrossing candle, or, you know, it might be more of that I'm crossed, you know, in some form or fashion, you know. So being able to hold both, you know, the general idea of what's happening, as well as really get to the root problem.
Right. Well, that's an interesting thing, because a lot of times people will have us set what I call a test candle. I have had a number of clients who do that. They'll have us burn an undressed, unloaded candle, nothing, just to see where it's going to go. Is it going to be a good burn or a bad burn? Sometimes they'll have us do a test candle and won't even tell us what the problem is. They'll just, here you go, I want a test candle on this situation, and we see how it burns. Very often there are smoke marks left in those candles that will indicate, was it a general uncrossing? Was it the gossip? Was it the love? Was it the money? Should three candles be burned? And you'll see that in the test candle. So, Ali, we got a lot of interest here in the chat room about the different ways candles are loaded, and boy, there are many different ways. I've seen people take a nail and write their name in script in the candle. I've seen people take a nail and, like, drag it through the candle to make either a five-pointed star or a six-pointed star. I've seen people poke holes in, three of them, seven of them, however many, nine of them holes. Sometimes they make a hole shallow, some make them deep, drive them all the way down. How do you load your candles?
That's an interesting question, and it really depends for me what type of candle I'm using. If it's a standalone candle, not a glass encased, I'll usually load it like a figure candle. I generally load those from the bottom, and what I do is I heat up my knife, and I make a little hole, and I carve it right out. And I heat up my knife for a reason, because I don't want the wax to break. Sometimes you put pressure on a wax figure candle, and it'll shatter. So I'm always very careful. I heat up my knife, or I heat up my pin, and I make a little hole. And I kind of, in a swirly fashion, and almost like unravel the wax. It's a very beautiful technique. And then I put in my herbs and then melt the wax right over. When it comes to a glass encased candle, I actually poke four holes up at the top, and I prefer to make it in almost a crossroads fashion with the wick right in the center. And then I put all my oils in there, rub the oil in a little bit with my fingers, and sprinkle the herbs, trying to get it in the holes itself. One of my favorite techniques for what I consider loading a candle, if it's a standalone candle, like a pillar candle or a 4-inch candle or a 6-inch candle, I prefer to actually double dress candles. So what I'll do is I'll actually dress it with oils, and then I will roll it in powders or herbs, or I will hold the powder in a spoon and blow it with my breath as I'm saying prayers, so that the powder flicks off of the spoon and lands on the candle. It's a very evocative way of doing it. You can see your prayers being, you know, carried through your breath, carrying the powder right onto the candle. And that's one of my favorite ways of doing this, double dressed for standalone candles.
Yeah, and I don't think we could go too much further without me mentioning the method of that I was taught in Oakland, California, back in the 60s, of taking a cookie sheet, melting a little scrum of wax on it with the herbs on a hot plate, taking it off the hot plate till it just starts to be flexible but hasn't yet hardened up, and then roll the candle. And you get this rough-coated candle with herbs all over it.
Yeah.
Oil that, and then you can powder it also if you want to. And that is a very traditional way to dress a freestanding candle.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful way of doing it, because the double wax on that, the way it melts, will often give you some of the most beautiful caromancy and wax divinations that you'll get, because there's a lot of wax.
That's right. There's extra wax.
Very beautiful.
And it may, the extra wax, just speaking scientifically and technically here, the extra wax, depending on where you got it from, may have a different melting point than the wax of your candle.
Yes.
And
yes.
And you'll sometimes get very interesting burns as pieces peel away and the herbs go up in flame and all sorts of things like that can happen. Another thing I want to tell people as far as loading candles made with a harder wax, like you were mentioning, heating the knife, heating a pointed knife,
yes.
Carving it out so you don't break the candle. And then, of course, there's the question of melting that wax back in. I just use a big old a spoon that's dedicated
yeah.
to that
yeah.
purpose, and you just put your wax shards in that spoon and hold it over your gas stove and then just pour into it. You could use a little thing with a ladle if you wanted to, if you wanted to use some little fancy Turkish ladle thing, if you know what I'm talking about. Are y'all Turks know what I'm talking about? And so I've used all those kinds of things, little copper Turkish melty things. But also, I find it a good idea to, when you're working with any of these kind of candles, to have a fireproof surface to work on. And I tell this to all these home practitioners because they don't know what it's like out here in a candle church or candle service church. You do need something that is fireproof for those candles to be on. And it can be a large sheet of cast iron, which will distribute the heat nicely. It can be a slab of granite like Deacon
yes.
Millett uses at Four Altars Gospel Sanctuary. It can be a restaurant-sized baking dish, like a sheet cake pan, completely filled with clean aquarium sand. Anything like that is good. The one thing I tell people not to do, and everyone kind of says, I just came up with a great idea, but it's the bad idea. Do not put glass-encased candles in a bowl of water. Because what
yes,
will
no.
happen, when the flame level hits the water, 9 times out of 10, it'll break the glass. And you've
yes.
just made a mess.
Now,
so put them in sand or nothing. Just put them in a bowl, a metal bowl.
Right.
But if you're going to put them in something flatter, put them in sand.
There are two, just to add to that, because that's right, absolutely true. When you're putting in sand, something that I do is I always add powders to match the condition of the candle. So I have trays, and I'll have a love tray, an uncrossing tray, and I set all those candles in those trays with the sand, but then the sands also have a little bit of powder mixed in so that they're surrounded with the power of spirit as well as the light. It's a great
mm-hmm.
way of working. But with the water technique, I do... I'm with you 100%. Be very careful. Don't put it in water. However, there are certain times where I've been told by an elder to actually put it in water, but it's specifically to make the candle break. So you're breaking a condition. And you
right.
place the candle in water, and that's only usually done for uncrossing, kind of reversing work, where you need that extra breaking of it. You broke the condition. But in general, do not do it because you're right. 9 times out of 10, it'll break, and it's dangerous.
Right. Another thing you can use if you don't want to use powders in your sand is bath crystals.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They are salt and they convey heat very nicely. And they're a combination of Epsom salts and salts and rock salt. And they will work. And they're also nicely tinted. And you can also use tinted aquarium sand if you're of that mind. And I've known people who do. Especially if you're doing what's called a color candle service. In a church, it's very common to have all of the articles used at that service be in shades or tints of one color. So if you were doing a, for instance, blue healing service, you would have blue candles. There would be blue tinted sand, blue drapery, blue altar cloths. The celebrant would wear blue vestments, and the drapes would be blue for that candle service. Now, we don't do that at our church because we're all doing so many candles for
mm-hmm.
so many conditions. But it is something to consider if you do work a certain type of thing in your home, if you have clothing that you can at least change out. And remember, an altar cloth that you change out, it doesn't have to be something so fancy. It can be as simple as a bandana. And you can
yeah.
go down to any shop, and bandanas come in every color of the rainbow. So just buy yourself a set of bandanas, and you can put those underneath your work on your working altar. All righty. Well, we're about out of time for this. We could probably talk for 2 hours just on the subject of how to burn candles for people.
Very true.
Yeah. One of the things that we do, and Lou mentioned this, is we do divinations at Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, and some of the other candle service churches do this too, where we send you the divination by email. So you will get a report on how your candle burned and suggestions if you are to burn further candles. So burning candles for people is not a passive thing. It's actually an active engagement with the candle deacon who's
yes.
working with you. Okay. All righty. Well, let's turn this over, and we're going to go to our callers. So take it away, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali. And this week's special guest, Lou Flores, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Kimmy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client, and our first client is calling in from area code 909. This is L. Diaz. L. Diaz, are you there, caller, from Southern California?
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I'm going to go ahead and let our hosts know that you have actually had a reading with Miss Kat 2 months ago, and this is an update. It was not on the show, but you're calling to report back. Things have gotten a bit worse, and she writes, I'm in an abusive relationship. Since my reading, things have become worse. Money came to a halt, no hours at work, he is more aggressive, and although the physical violence stopped for now, and in parentheses, she's got won't last, the emotional, mental abuse increased. He also threatened to blow up the house when he found out I was trying to move. Mm. I've lost my friends because of this man, no support system, and trying to have a brave face for my daughter. Shelter isn't an option, neither is a restraining order. It won't stop him. It seems like every day it's something new, from a dead car battery on the day of court, and she's got in parentheses, missed court, flat tires, etc. I can go on. I've done cleansings as well as smudging the house. I'd like to know the appropriate measures to take. Turning it back over to you.
Well, hon, this is really disturbing to me. And I'm just going to say that when I read for you before, I was disturbed then. And you're going to need some local support. I really have to say this is a situation that is out of control, has been out of control, and is going to only get worse, okay? And we knew this kind of going in, you know?
Yeah.
And I am very, very worried because what you're describing is not, it's just not good. And I'm going to say one thing about this. I know that that there are things that have been going on at work and that there's, you know, you've had pay cuts and things like that. But the problems of those and the problems of the car are as nothing compared to having a violent lover who has attacked you in the presence of your child, okay?
Yes.
And when I did that reading for you, I said you really need to get involved with a battered women's shelter and get out. This man is only going to get worse. Only going to get worse. Seriously, when I read for you before, I remember saying that that you should have some sort of a female around you. I remember I got a card that was one of the queens, and I will read again, but I'm very, very concerned that you have not taken the steps, and I'm not trying to blame you, honey, because I know what it's like to be with someone who's abusive, but you haven't taken the steps to make yourself safe yet. Do you hear what I'm saying, sweetheart?
Oh, absolutely. I have contacted the House of Ruth, and unfortunately, he knew I went there. So I'm assuming he's stalking me, and that's how he knew I was going to leave, and he threatened me. Right now, he's not in the home, but his stuff is still here. He has a new parole officer. I'm just hoping that they get mad with each other and he goes to jail, and that'll be my best way to get out. No family. I've tried all of my options at this point.
Okay, but sweetheart, you said you contacted the House of Ruth, and what did they say? Were they able to find you someplace?
As far as in shelter, no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to actually get out of the area shelter, so it's pretty much there's a waiting list. That's what I was told.
Okay. I'm worried, and I'll tell you why. I've put down three cards here, and sweetheart, these are not good cards, okay? This is a difficult situation, and I don't want you to end up dead, and I'm going to be really frank about it, because the first card right out of the deck, first card cut, is the Ten of Swords, and that is someone stabbed in the back with ten swords and left in a pile of blood down on the beach. So please listen to me. This is not good. Waiting for him and his parole officers to have a falling out and him to violate parole and go back, that ain't good enough. It ain't good enough.
No.
You should have been out of there when you and I talked. When was that? That was back in September, right?
September, yes. And then the whole October, they weren't giving me any hours, excuse me. So all the money that I had saved so I'm able to move, I had to spend on all these unnecessary expenses that are coming up, such as car batteries, flat tires, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's because of him, honey. This man has got you tied, bound, whipped, abused, and he is seriously a problem, okay? I'm not kidding, honey, because the next card that comes up is the Devil, and the next card is the Six of Swords. This is no joke. The devil is a guy who has rulership over a man and a woman who are chained to a rock. And the woman has got a tail of grapes. I always speak about this. She's looking for security, a home for children, whatever it may be. She needs something. The man has got a tail of flames, and the devil has a torch and is setting his tail on fire and just making him worse, either worse lustful, worse angry, worse whatever. This card, the Devil, this man has an evil spirit. It's an evil spirit that is making him evil. And the Six of Swords shows a woman and a child in a boat being rowed across a river to a more safe and calm area. You got to get out of there, and I mean quick, okay? Quick. That's my reading on it. I mean, seriously, but I said that back in September, see? But it's only gotten worse. It's only gotten worse. These are worse cards than I had back then, honey. This is just bad, okay? Lou, what do you see?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I agree with your reading, Ms. Kat. And, you know, what's coming in for me, the first card is the Devil card as well.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is all about being enslaved to people, to things, to situations that aren't of your choosing. It's also talking and indicating that for you, you know, there's a lot of places where you just don't have the confidence or feel that in any way once you step out that you will be, you know, safe or protected or that there is an outlet for you to find resource, you know. So it's literally around how are you holding hope that this possibility could change, you know. Because one of the main things that the Devil talks about is literally it's that power to control your ability to dream of a life outside of him, you know. The next card that comes in is the Seven of Swords. And the Seven of Swords for me is the futility card. And so this talks about feeling like a lot of your options are closed to you, like every time that you try and get help or try and put yourself out there, you're immediately shut down. So I would be prescribing, you know, road opening workings to be able to find the type of support that you need. But it really, you know, it should be happening, you know, 2 weeks ago as opposed to right now. It's just talking about this urgency around moving and around, you know, protection and to really be safe and secure. That's the biggest thing that's on your, you know, periphery right now. And so everything outside of that should take a second, you know, a second stage to, you know, your primary focus. Because it's talking about, you know, in some form or fashion with this Devil card that there is, you know, there could be impending danger lurking, you know. And then the final card that I get is the Adjustment card, which in this deck is syncretized with the Justice card. And this is all about finding your remediation through the law and through, you know, police. So, you know, I know that you said that you might be, you know, you might not want to put out a restraining order or get the, you know, justice system involved, but now is the time. And even, you know, if it looks like getting the restraining order and if he, you know, refuses to go about that, then reporting him, but it's some way in which to get the law physically involved and working on your side because they are there for you, but that it's indicating that you don't believe that that's even a possibility for you to look into, you know. The other thing that's popping in and just what my spirits are talking about is, you know, around your financial, you know, options and really how to bring in the money to adequately support you. And it's just talking about whether it's through friends, whether it's through family, but there's this idea of you know, getting your support system, really working on your behalf, that there are a lot of people around you who really want to support you, but that it's almost like you're muted. Your mouth is closed. Your mouth is bound. So it's that ability to open the mouth and really speak as opposed to holding back, that, you know, it's no longer about saving face. It's about, bringing your voice fully forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is serious business, baby. Contraband Ali, what can you say here to prescribe some work for her, to maybe get her courage up?
Right.
Rather than trying, we're not going to do any work to try to fix this guy, soften this guy.
No, I don't care about all of that.
We just need some serious work to get her courage up.
Listen, honey, there's two things that happens when you're in an abusive relationship, okay? And this is just psych 101 for you. One, the woman thinks the guy will change. This is very common. He never changes, period. Two, they feel like they have no power. That is the devil for you right there. You feel chained to this guy. All three of us pulled the devil apart. But the reality is that those chains can be slipped off, okay? And Miss Michael said in the chat, they can come right off. You do have the power. You can literally pick up and move while he's gone, and he'll never know. I don't care how good of a stalker he is. You can vanish, and he will never know. Second, you say, oh, restraining order won't work. All these things won't work. Yes, they will. Even if he doesn't care. If he violates that restraining order, legal action can be taken. Do not think that these things are futile. Do not think that these things will not help you. The first thing you need to do, is pray to St. Michael. You can print out his card right off the internet. You can light a simple white candle and you call upon him. He's the protector of women. He's the protector of anyone who's facing abuse from authority. And he is one of the greatest protectors. And you ask him to give you the courage, to hand you his fiery sword so that you can wage war against the devil. This man is your devil, okay? So you're going to call on St. Michael and you're going to say, just as you cast Satan out of heaven, I need your help to cast my Satan out of my life, okay? So you need to call upon St. Michael, simple prayer, work his, you know, say his prayer and call upon him. That will help give you the courage. But please, please don't rely on these secondary things when you have these other options, like putting a restraining order, living in, you know, you say shelter is not an option. It absolutely is. There are organizations that you can contact and say, I'm in an abusive relationship, and they will literally come pick you up and move you in such a way that he will never find you and help you with your legal processes. Look these things up online. Look at these things locally and do whatever it takes. If he's threatening you to blow up, call the cops right then and there. Have them on the phone while he's screaming so they know what's going on. You need to take active action. Call upon your guardian, St. Michael, to help you with this and get yourself out there. As much as I'm a big proponent of magical work, what you need right now, strength, courage, and protection, and then get out. This is one of those situations where you need to actually take physical action, okay? So my suggestion is St. Michael work and move. Move as soon as you can, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, the other thing is, you're located in 909 area code. We know that from your call,
right.
Southern California. There are a lot of root workers down in your area. I don't know where you are, and we're not going to talk about that. I mean, I do know where you are, but we're not going to talk about that on this show. So there are people in your area who would help you who are root doctors. And I seriously would like you
Southern California, Dr. E, me, Deacon Miller, we're all down here.
Madam Pamita?
Madam Pamita, absolutely.
And these are all people, and Starlita is also down there. These are a lot of root workers who are good, who are in Southern California. Any one of them will help you. In fact, Stars in the Sky 7, who reads at Madam Pamita's shop in Santa Monica under the name of Starlita, she's in the forum, and she is very involved in work for families, and I would maybe reach out to her in the forum. Stars in the Sky 7, someone who may be able to put you on the fast track to getting some help. I believe that not going to talk much about what she does, but she does a lot that has to do with children and families, and she is experienced in that realm. We'll just leave it at that, okay?
Thank you.
So reach out to her, Stars in the Sky 7 in the forum. Any one of these other people can help you to a certain extent, but she may be able to get you some professional help. And you need to get out as soon as possible. You really do, honey. I would recommend Crucible of Courage products to get your courage up. Try to just anoint yourself, your hands and your head with Crucible of Courage and your feet and say, let me hold my thoughts with courage and strength as I go through this trying time. Put some in your hands. Let me reach out to people with my hands with courage as I go through this time. Put some on the soles of your feet and say, let me walk out of this situation with courage. Yes, you said he's not in the house right now. He can find you. You need to go. We are really, really worried for you. You got three people here very worried for you. You got a whole room full of people in the chat room worried for you.
Yeah, I can't keep up with the messages. I'm going to go by once my and then respond to everybody. I thank everybody for their great support.
Yeah, well, we do want to support you, and you do need help. You do need help, and get out, okay? So, and one of the things Psychic Mimi said, you need to get out for your child's sake because Child Protective Services can take a child away from an abusive home, and it doesn't matter who did it.
I know.
And then you'd even have more problems, all right? So, yeah, get this thing on the road now. If you need to call me and have me give you some phone numbers, but just try Stars in the Sky 7 through the forum. She's there almost every day, if not every day. Private message her. She is in Southern California. She knows a lot more about this than she lets on, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that, all right?
Thank you.
Good luck to you, baby. I really wish you all the luck.
Okay. I only have one more quick question in regards to the St. Michael. Should I put my picture? I have a picture and a piece of my hair under his statue.
That's good.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
okay.
Good.
To be honest, if you have a statue, I would take his picture and put it underneath it and put yours in his hands so that he's stamping on that devil. That's what I would do.
That's right, right. You know how St. Michael and Archangel Michael stamps on the devil? That's a good point. Put his,
do I
put
the his picture face down?
That you
yeah,
got
put
it,
the
baby,
picture
face
down under his statue and put your picture with your baby, with your child, in St. Michael's arms.
Okay, I will do that as soon as...
And on the back of his picture, in the back of the man's picture, write St. Michael, protect me, or Archangel Michael, protect me, however you address him, okay?
Okay, thank you
all
very
right,
much,
sweetheart.
Everybody.
Good luck, and I want to stay in touch with you somehow or another because I'm worried.
I will. I'll keep you updated.
Okay.
Thank
all
you.
Right. Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. And a reminder to everyone that support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 604 from British Columbia. This is Clearshar. Clearshar, are you there, caller?
I am, thank you. Hello, everyone.
Hi, great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first call actually into the show, and she writes, there is a man whom I believe he loves me in return, I'm going to start over here. There is a man whom I love and believe he loves me in return as much. The issue has been regarding a few other parties. My family has created a bit of tension that is serious, and he has a past with some other woman. What I would like is to create a situation where the distractions that seem to come up between us are able to be gone and do not impact he and I in any further. Also, that my family is able to see that I am happy and embrace the relationship. It's been ongoing for some time. Mostly the distractions that seem to come to him, I am most helpful. I'm sorry, I'm reading that verbatim, turning it back over to you.
Okay. All right. I'm not quite sure that what this means by distractions. Are you talking about his things that come between you? You're talking about few other parties. Does he have exes?
Love rivals?
Love rivals? What are kind of distractions are you talking about here?
To some degree, yes. There have been other parties involved at times, like where there was other women. I don't believe that's happening now. I think that's from a while ago now. My children do not support the relationship, and his work. He's quite a workaholic. He's actually a fairly obsessive, compulsive person. So, he can get focused on things and just lose himself in what he's doing. So, I would just like to make it, if it's possible, so that we can just have no distractions coming to us, so that we can focus on the relationship, and not to say that we're just 24/7. But
okay,
all right.
I got that now. Is he living with you?
Not yet, no. We've been talking about that, and I do believe that's going to be happening fairly soon.
All right. So you're not actually asking for a reading. You're asking for root work advice. So let's just start
you
in with root work. You're asking what to do, but I don't hear the question. I don't hear a reading question.
We don't hear a why.
Or what? A lot of people really just do need a root work consultation, and that's what I'm seeing. Is that okay? We're just going to go with that
absolutely.
Because...
Please.
Okay, so you're going to get everybody in here. So, Ollie, why don't we start with you?
Absolutely. Whenever there's a situation where there's a little bit of an attention problem or that distraction, he might get involved in the work that he's involved in or with these other women. The best type of work that I always find for that particular is usually follow me boy type of work. Follow me boy type of work is great because if there's other things going around, he goes, no, let me focus on you, and kind of follows around like a puppy, which is what we need a little bit. And the family issue can be addressed through honey work or something else, and someone else can talk about that. But one of the techniques that I always use for a situation like this, especially if you already feel very strongly that he loves you, he just needs to put his focus and attention is to take an apple. Okay, and you want to cut the apple in half and core it and put your photo and his photo in there along with your petition on the back of that photo. If you have a piece of his hair, make sure that you include it, and you put it in the photo in the apple so the apple becomes a little container. And then you close the apple back up, all right? And what you're going to do is you're going to baptize that as his heart. This is the heart of my lover, so-and-so. Then you're going to take cloves are little nails, and you're going to poke that apple with cloves as you pray over it. Each one, they're pricking his heart. These are the arrows of Cupid, okay? And you're going to poke this apple, and you're going to say, so-and-so, you're thinking of me. So-and-so, you are not distracted by anyone else. So-and-so, you love me and me alone. You have eyes for only me. You desire me. I am the first thought on your mind and the last thought when you go to sleep. You dream of me, and you yearn to see me while awake. And you keep putting in there, and I want you to do 21 nails. And each one of them, you have to pray from the heart sincerely, okay? Then I want you to douse this entire thing in honey. You can drizzle honey all over it. You can place this in a container and keep it in a potted plant, or you can bury it in your front yard. Now, some people I've also seen use that candle as a candle holder. You use that apple as a candle holder where they place a candle right on top of it, and they burn down candles. I prefer to bury it because otherwise, the apple will go bad. Drizzle it in honey, place that right by your front door, so it's drawing him to come to you. That will help break through. It's a bit of like follow me boy work. You can even dress the apple with follow me boy oil. That is a great work to help remove these distractions and really build up the fire for you and you alone, and gets him to really put his attention and focus on you, okay?
Okay. When you say cut it in half, do you mean half from like the stem is at the top and the halfway down to the other to where it's
so half of the, if you're facing the apple, you're going horizontal and then you core it.
Okay.
You just take
a
little bit
of cup out of it.
You're making a little cup out of it. It's like a little small container. Now, some people core it for vertically, but in this particular way, I want you to actually make a little container, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, I was taught a little bit different ways that to core it all the way, leave the apple whole, core it all the way down, but not to the bottom, because when you put honey in, you don't want the honey to pour out the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So you just sort of core it around. Different people do them different ways. All right, I'm going to give you a working that I've done, and that is from my life that I love. When you want someone to be with you, a lot of people go in for the things like follow me, boy, and come to me, and all that sort of stuff. But when I met my husband, Nagashiva, he was involved in a household in South Bay, two and a half hours away from me. He had a full-time job. He had a situation going on. I mean, there was a lot happening there. He had things going on in his life. And I found that him coming to see me and me going to see him was not satisfactory. And so I offered him some oils to sample and test, and he smelled Stay With Me and said he liked the smell of it. Well, that was interesting to me, because Stay With Me is often used by women as a last ditch, don't divorce me. And many people think that Stay With Me means don't divorce me. But since he picked that aroma, I went with it. And within a month, he had turned in his resignation at his job and had, gotten his mom and stepdad to loan him a truck and move him up here. So, and we've been together ever since. So Stay With Me is an interesting thing when you have a relationship with someone, but they're not staying in your house or you're not staying in their house. And as I said, that's maybe a little untraditional for that oil or that candle, but I sure found it worked for me, and I swear by it, is very, very helpful. You can blend it with other things like Follow Me, Boy, but Stay With Me kind of does put up a barrier between the person and their other things. You can also blend it with Stay At Home products, which is for a different purpose. That's to keep him from being the workaholic and staying out all the time. It's to keep him from going out bowling, or keep him from going out drinking, or keep him from going out with see his ex-girlfriends. Stay At Home is literally stay at home. So Stay With Me mixed with Stay At Home, and then you can put in some other things like Love Me. I would go with that as my first plan. Okay?
Beautiful.
So Lou, what do you think?
Well, you know, what I'm seeing, because, you know, it sounds like you two, both you and Conjurman Ali, have both, you know, talked about how to remediate it on his side to get her more, you know, to get him more interested in her and to bring him around. But what I would like to talk is how, you know, you can, work with your own energies to bring out your beauty, to bring out your strength, to bring out that attractiveness to have him, you know, want to come back or want to come back stronger. You know, so what I like to describe to my clients would be to take a figural candle of the vagina and to literally load it with a little bit of your own personal, you know, juices and scents, as well as, some orange water, a little bit of hibiscus, a little bit of honey, a little bit of aloe woods powder to bring in that kind of, you know, lust and sensuality and passion. And then, you know, place your petition and write a petition that he is only attracted to you and can only smell you and can only see you, and that every time that he is with you, that he knows that this is your home, you know, and that he needs to come home to you, you know, and stay there. So what you can do is, write your petition in that way and then literally insert it and make it, you know, slit in the vagina and insert it, you know, in there to draw him in. And some people that I've noticed who do this type of working take a little bit of his hair and, you know, knot it around the petition so that way he is bound, you know, in your power and your vagina, you know, so to speak. And then
I just got to say one thing, honey. I know you're a guy, but the name of that candle is not a vagina candle. It's a vulva candle.
And
I'm going to tell
you
why.
For the record, I call it a vulva candle.
I know. I'm sorry. Just got to speak up here on behalf of women's anatomy. A vagina is a long tube. tube. It means a sword sheath. This candle is not in the form of a long tube. It's in the form of a pussy.
No, okay? I'm so sorry. Excuse me. You know.
Just call it a pussy candle and you'll be okay, all right?
Okay, well, honey, take that pussy candle and load it with all those good things because your pussy is powerful, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, really to bring in that type of power, to bring in that type of sensuality, to really claim it as your own and that yours is the hottest thing on the market, you know, in other words, you know?
Yeah.
And so to really, you know, address it in that way.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say one other little thing about the family members because you need your family to accept him. Just a little, you know, the kind of thing that Conjurman Ali was talking about with the honey and stuff, mm-hmm. you can do that with him and the family members. Get mm-hmm. a picture of, do you have a picture of the whole family together, maybe even when you were a kid, you know, your mom, your dad, the siblings, and you?
Okay. Yeah, it's my children. Yeah, it's to do with my children. My parents and my sister, I think they're fine with it. They don't have an issue, but my children
Oh,
do.
It's just your children at all. Okay. You got a picture of you and your children?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Get a picture of him. Get a picture of him, too, about the same size, kind of shrinked, maybe the same size. Cut it out and paste it on, you know, like as if he was standing there with your children. You see what I'm saying? Just
right.
paste him into the picture, okay? But don't paste him in with glue. Paste him in with honey. Paste him on with honey.
Okay.
And then take a pin and just pin him to it. You can mix. I've done it where I've mixed glue with honey, and it's a mess, but there you go. Or just a little bit you know, like pancake syrup and stuff like with Elmer's glue. I've tried everything. I've done it in a different way. But you're basically going to paste him in the picture. Now take that and you're going to fold
oils.
It up. I'm sorry, what
is
that?
Are those oils available on the Mojo site?
Lucky Mojo, yeah, we have all of those oils, yeah. So you're going to paste him into this picture, right, with just a little bit of honey glue, and you're going to put him on it, and you're going to pin him into it, so like with a sewing pin, and then you're going to put into that, onto that picture, you're going to put in some flax seed, F-L-A-X, flax seed, which is used for the health of children and for niceness in the family. And you're going to put in some Queen Elizabeth powder. That is for women to have their power to rule and control. And you're going to put in some rosemary leaves. And you're going to put in some periwinkle leaves that you crush up. And you can put in a little bit of John the Conqueror chips. That's for him to have some power. This is all to make you guys strong and be a couple, but the children have to come under your command. Fold that thing towards you. Fold it again towards you. Fold it again towards you. Fold it again towards you. Make a little packet out of it. Take that little packet, and I want you to, you can use duct tape or anything to hold it closed, and you're going to put it into a jar, a glass jar like you have in your kitchen, with sugar on top. And then whenever you, are your children living at home?
No.
They come visit sometime?
Not right now, they're not. It's pretty strange.
Well, you go to see them? You go to see your children? Hey, you go to see your children, ma'am? Okay.
No, I haven't been, no, but I'm sorry, dear. I haven't been. It's been pretty toxic, though, as I said.
Well, you want to sweeten them. If you want to sweeten them, you're going to use that sugar that you put that little packet in. You're going to use that sugar to feed them. So make them some cookies and go see them. You can't have it. You got to break through this barrier and sugar over that little packet that has him pinned in and his picture in the picture, right? He's now he's in the picture, right? And all these things that I said to put in that packet, and then use that sugar to make them some Christmas cookies or whatever you use. Make Hanukkah cookies or however you do it, okay?
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, because it's been ongoing, and as I said, it's been really strained as a
well. All right. You got to make some moves. And another thing you can do when you give presents to your children, you can try to do some dressing of their presents with a little bit of Peaceful Home. You can buy Peaceful Home herbs or Peaceful Home oil, Peaceful Home powder. And whatever, and dress the gifts that you give them, Okay, you got a rough road ahead of you. You got a better, it's an easier path with him. A more difficult road with your children. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Very, very much. Appreciate
All right.
your time.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for calling, hon, and good luck to you. All righty. Now it's time for Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And we're going to go ahead and go into our break and remind everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running radio show to date, folk magic radio show. Listen by telephone or listen to the Archive Podcast on iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com, and this week's special guest, Lou Flores of LouFlores.com. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now it's time to go to the callers who have sent it to be on the air. Our next caller is calling in from Virginia Beach from area code 757. This is Choli. Am I pronouncing that correct? Choli or Eileen?
It's Eileen. It's Eileen.
Okay, great. Well, Eileen, super. Hi, and welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time calling into the show, but you are a client of Conjurman Ali's, and you're
Hello.
Calling in to report some conditions that seem to be improving. And she writes, I have an ancestral curse. My kittens were dying. I had a car accident. I had a reading with Conjurman Ali, and he advised that if I started fully working again with my guides in Santeria and my ancestors, that my situation will improve. Until then,
I know who you are.
I can have a spiritual mass said for the spirit who is upset with me, with my bloodline. I have not been able to do mass yet, but hoping to get it done before the year is up. Turning it back over to you.
All right.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Miss Kat. Hi, Condiment. Hi, Mr. Lou.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to everybody. Hello.
Hi. Well, normally we would have Lou do your first reading here, followed by Ali, but I think since you have been a client of Condiment Ali, let's have him go first and then Lou, if that's okay.
Okay.
Sounds fine by me. What I've done is I've been scrying while Miss Tammy Lee was talking, and I'm using my Kapala with water in it, and I've also put a little bit of Dragon's Blood ink, Lucky Mojo Dragon's Blood ink, and I'm using the ink to scry, and what I'm seeing is a cup that has been overturned, and from it are coming flames, so it was probably some type of offering that was given. You said that things have been improving, but you haven't quite done the mass yet or dealt with
no.
the spiritual components of things that we recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give a little background for the other readers here on the show, Eileen is involved in Lukumi, involved in Santeria, but she never went through all the way with it. She's been a bit lax, let's say, on that aspect of things because things have come to an upheaval in her life, and she does have an ancestral curse. What this upside-down cup is telling us is that your ancestors are still in a state of revolt. They're still in a state of being uneasy. They're still trying to push you towards heading in a specific direction. You haven't quite gotten there. Things are improving. That's good. But the cup is still upside down. We need to restore the cup right side back up,
mm-hmm.
bringing that serenity, bringing that peace back into your life. And the only way to do that is to bring your spiritual court, bring your spiritual life in line, okay? Everything's all over the place. You have this partial initiation with Lukumi. You've got your ancestral curse on the other hand, and so everything is kind of coming into a conjunction and causing a mess in your life. We want to bring everything back in line. You want to fulfill your spiritual destiny, walk the path that you're walking on, while also doing the spiritual mass that deals with putting to rest these troublesome ancestors, these overbearing ancestors, and removing the curse aspect of it, okay? So it's important that you follow through with this. It has been a while since we last talked, so I know you know life must have gotten in the way, but it's paramount that you get to this as soon as possible, because what's going on is your spiritual life. Here's this cup. The cup always represents spirituality. It always represents inspiration and communication with the spirit. Right now it's upside down. Everything is in a mess, and so we want to bring that back into conjunction. The next thing that I see is a bag that's got little gems that are being tossed into it, and what this represents for me is offerings, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's about giving actual palpable offerings to the spirit. I would recommend candles, I would recommend prayer, things that, leaving out food and water for your ancestors and your spirits. You need to get involved in your spirit work, because you've got so much spiritual activity around you that's causing a mess. It's time to put that in order, and the only way to do that is to take actual action. So you need to do that mass. You need to follow through with your commitments. You've committed to a specific path, and this is a kind of a warning to all other people who are interested in the African traditional religions. They are a commitment. When you make a vow to follow through with it, you have to follow through, especially since you come from a long line of these people, and they are really pushing you in that direction. So that's what I see here, is that you're still in a spiritual upheaval.
You still need
to follow through with these actions.
Yeah. I had a dream with Elewa last week. Where I met him at the crossroads, and he was smoking a cigar, and I was smoking a cigarette, and he told me, he goes, look, you're at a job, because I work in a call center, where people are calling you every day, and they're sick, or they're dying. He goes, you're picking all this crap up, your house is a physical mess, your spiritual life is a physical mess. He goes, I'm going to tell you, you have to let that job go and take care of your household, because you have to the end of the year. He goes, and that's coming up quickly.
So he's giving you a deadline.
I love you.
Can I break in here for a moment? I just want to say a couple of things here. If you are who I think you are, and I'm pretty sure you are, you're a student of mine, right?
Yep. Yes, I am.
And you've turned in a few homeworks, but you have not graduated. And you took my course in 2010, and you haven't finished your homework.
I haven't finished anything I started since. The last,
all right.
Since my mother died, yeah.
Right. So there's a lot going on here. I can see that there's a lot going on here. I also remember you as having been doing work with another root worker.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still working with him?
No, I am not.
Good. All right.
Yes, good.
Let's turn this over to Lou.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, both, Condorman Ali and Miss Kat, because what I'm picking up is running along the same lines. It looks like there is an older figure. It's a male figure, a male entity. He comes in, I want to say, late 60s, early 70s, dark hair, dark eyes, I want to say 5'10", 5'11", kind of a little bit hunched over as well. And it's talking, what he's talking about is, once again, it's this place of not showing up for yourself, consistently putting yourself out there for evolution, but falling away from it whenever it becomes hard, or whenever challenges pop in, or whenever life circumstances pop in. And so it's this idea of, really calling you towards your own spiritual evolution and really staying true to the commitments that you put out there. And so one of the things that I would recommend, because it sounds like Condorman Ali recommended a spiritual mass, a white table or a misa, is to do something in between, between now and the time that you can do that, and that is an ancestral upliftment. And what you do is you get a picture, pictures of your ancestors. You literally set a space in your house that won't be disturbed, that's quiet, and for 9 nights you build and maintain this altar. And what you do is you start on the floor with a white plate, a glass full of water, a candle, and you can even do like fresh fruits that aren't, like bananas, coconuts, things like that that are really subtle and gentle on the energetic sphere, that don't have that type of heat. Melons, for sweetness, things like that that are nice and refreshing, because what's happening is your ancestral cord is very heated up and has a lot of, you know, has a lot of energy to work, but they don't have a direction as to where to channel that energy in. Right? So on the first night, you call in your ancestors, you know, you offer your prayers, you offer libation, and then you literally let that candle burn for the next 9 nights. You get a glass candle. And each of the nights, you lift up that plate, either with books, with, you know, tables, things like that, until it's all the way at the end of the ninth night. It should be level with your own height. So that way your ancestors are rising from the earth up to your, you know, up to your height to be able to, you know, bring that evolution that you're, you know, seeking, right? And so, okay. You know, you say your prayers, you offer them sweets, you do that type of work. And then on that last night, you release them and you ask them, you know, you ask that if there's any negative energy, any negative or, you know, spirit that doesn't know that it's dead yet or that has had issues with, you know, attachment, that be released from them and that they, you know, join the light, they join the rest of the ancestors, you know, around you to offer that support. And specifically, it's also indicating, do you have a strong allyship with Xangô by any chance?
Yes, I love Xangô.
And who's your head?
My head is Yamaya.
Okay, because that makes sense, because, you know, Yemaya and Xangô ride together, and Xangô is just really standing strong by you to offer his support, you know, to offer his you know, ashe for your evolution. You know, it's that fire, and a lot of your ancestors kind of walk with Xangô, so that's where that fire energy is coming from. So you really want to, you know, do things to cool them down, to really bring them directed, you know, to have them directed in your life as opposed to just free form all over the place.
Okay.
So honey, what we're looking at is a lot of blockage here. You never received your full initiation, and you've never turned in your student homework. There's this ancestral curse. You were supposed to say a mass. You didn't have it said. You said you hoped to have it done by the end of the year.
Yeah.
But what I'm looking at right now is more than more central to this issue than, like, let's attack this part of it or this part of it or this part of it. I want you to get some central clarity. Okay, so you, before you go to any of this work, and I would like you to do it all, I would like you to just seek clarity of purpose. This is not the same as a road opener. People often confuse the two. They think, oh, I need my roads open because I'm blocked. No, we're just going to look for clarity first, because you can't pick a road until you have clear vision. And when you have clear vision, then you can pick a road. Then if you find a block, you can open that road. So you don't need to use Lucky Mojo brand clarity oil, though it's a good one. But I would like you to use a white candle, and I'd like you to just sit for a moment with a white, like a tea light. It can be a very small candle. And if you can, anoint yourself with clarity oil. And just do some very simple breathing exercises. Smell the clarity oil in your hand. Take a good whiff. Let it out and just say, I seek clarity. And then I want you to have a paper and a pencil that you had right there, and I want you to write down the things you have to do in the order that you have to do them. The order that we've seen them right now, we don't know. It's like, you know, is it get crowned? Is it get the homework done and graduate from my course? Is it, you know, is it about, you know, your ancestors? Is it, what is it? You know, is it doing this spiritual mess?
That's how I feel. I feel overwhelmed.
You're overwhelmed. Exactly.
I feel very overwhelmed.
You know, for instance, write down all the things that you think need to be done. Put some clarity on your hands. Breathe it. Put a little bit on your forehead if you can and up your head. And then write down what you need to do in the order that you need. Just ask for one thing and one thing only. I need clarity in the order in which I have to do these things. And then when you do them, check them off or cross them out. You just need to start completing things one by one, says Conjurman Ali. And that is the point of this. Candle magic suggests King Solomon Wisdom Oil as another one. Very good choice, too. Okay. It is used to clear your head and clear your mind so that you can make wise decisions. But I want you just to clear with clarity oil so that you can just see ahead of yourself, because somehow you're kind of spun around here in a way that is not conducive to getting the direction and the purpose that you need. Now, when you work with something like clarity oil, some people will also, they'll use a little token of some sort that's clear. In other words, a little clear quartz heart, a little clear quartz sphere, a clear glass sphere, something clear, literally clear, which you can hold in your hand and also then put up in a place in your room in your home where you will see it. It doesn't need to be some big ostentatious 8-inch diameter clear crystal ball, but something that is clear and that when you walk by and when you see it, when your eye lights on that, you just will remember to do one thing and one thing only. Touch that object into which you have put your focused energy, right, as you were doing this. Touch it and then touch your forehead to your third eye. That way, if you can't be dressing yourself with clarity oil or burning clarity candles or doing all that token, that amulet, that clear thing that you have placed there, empowered and possibly dressed with clarity oil, I would dress it with clarity oil, becomes what's called a touchstone. It doesn't have to literally be a stone. It can be anything. A little clear quartz angel, a little whatever, a little clear crystal sort of it. Whatever it is, when you walk by it, touch it. Touch your forehead. Clarity. And just keep doing that, because that becomes your battery where you store your clarity. Then, say, once a week, Mercury is a good deity for it, though right now we're having a little Mercury retrograde, but Mercury is always good for clear thought. Once a week, that would be Wednesday, sit down with this little thing, the battery we're going to call it, and do the same ritual again and charge it up and then put it back out so that whenever you touch it, it is clarity, okay? And because I'm seriously concerned for your lack of focus here, okay?
Focus is definitely needed, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to getting more of your homework. Next homework party will be next month. Turn in at least a couple more. You've done the first three. Homework number 5 is just another written one. It's a petition paper. You might do a petition for more clarity and use it with these other things that you were taught to do. And so turn in a duplicate copy of that. Send it to me. Now you've done one more piece of homework, okay?
Okay.
All righty, hon. Good luck to you, and I wish you all the best. And thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Blessings to all. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty,
you too, my dear.
All righty. Okay, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. We have about 10 minutes left in today's program, and we can go ahead and take one more caller if you like.
We're going to be doing our free spell.
I'm sorry, ma'am. It's retrograde, and if you notice, I just posted that link there for you on Clarity. bumped out the chat. Here we go. So we're going to go ahead and do our free spell for chat. And just a reminder to everyone, please tune in each week, every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to Blog Talk Radio for the Lucky Mojo Voodoo Rootwork Hour. I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to y'all for our free spell for everyone.
All righty. So our guest today is Lou Flores of louflores.com. And in keeping with our format here, Lou, you are on the spot. We want you to give a free spell. It can be of any topic you want it to be, a free spell to our readers. Talk clearly, talk loudly, talk slowly, and let's see if we can get some of the ingredients written down as we go along, okay?
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Ms. Kat, for giving me this opportunity to be on the air today. And, you know, the free spell that I wanted to talk about has to do with a special hoodoo practice seminar that I'm going to be giving in December on psychic spell kits, basically how to have a psychic self-defense kit whenever you need, you know, immediate protection, whenever you're not in front of your altars, kind of like MacGyver magic, as I like to call it. you know. And so, you know, one of the biggest things that I recommend for people is to know your plants, know what literally is growing around you, around your office, to be able to literally identify what the medicine is in front of you, you know. And if you don't have those type of techniques or you, you know, aren't aware, some of the easiest things that you can do is literally take a little bit of Florida water, some Van oil, anoint the head, the pulse points, the bottoms of the feet, all the chakra areas, and just say the Psalm 23 to really cut that energy immediately and to allow yourself to come back into the state of grace, to allow yourself to come back into the heart. Because what really happens during those times is we go into contraction and we go into frenzy and urgency, so we're not able to get really clear as to what our intentions are, what we need in the moment, you know. So that's the first thing. And then what I like to do is literally go outside. Once I have that intention, go outside, taking a walk around the block for 5 minutes, if I can, in between a meeting, just to clear that energy, to see a new environment, and just to change my consciousness once again, because it's those immediate conscious changers that help shift the energy from being the negative and being in reactionary into surviving and or into thriving and, you know, blooming type of thing. Mm-hmm. The other thing that you can do, and someone picked up on this too, is use blessed salt. And this was something that I do, is I take a little bit of salt in my palms and just do a simple dry bath on my body all the way down to the bottoms of the feet, just to be able to, you know, brush off that negativity. And then if I have a chance, you know, and I have herbs available or fresh herbs available in my immediate environment, I use mint and sage and, you know, a little bit of rue just to shift that energy from me and put it back on those who send it. So that's my free spell of the day. And I don't know if Ms. Kat or Conjure Man Ali have anything to add to, you know, psychic self-defense or that type of work.
It's beautiful.
Well, those are really good. Certainly Van is my favorite go-to emergency state changer. You know, if I feel like I've been put under a psychic attack, you can feel them coming. I remember Dr. E once said he was under a psychic attack, and he said he could see it coming down the number 5 freeway. He could, it was so big, so large, so loud. He saw it coming down the 5. I mean, sometimes they come at you like a train, and sometimes they're like a little sneaky thing, you know, like a little bee buzzing around you, and all of a sudden you got stung. I use Van. And Van is interesting to me because some of the ingredients in it are literally insect repellents. And some of these little spells that come at you are like little buzzy bees, little tick, a little flea, a little parasite of some sort. Van is really good at quickly turning that over and turning it away. That's immediate psychic self-defense for me, Van oil. I always use it. I always carry it with me, a little bottle of it in my, a little dram vial of it in my purse. So what about you, Conjure Man Ali? What do you use when you get a psychic attack?
I love rue. I'm a rue person. I've always been a rue person. I burn it as incense. I carry it in a pocket and a little, carry it in my wallet. Sometimes I carry it in a pouch. And I also use rue oil on talismans. If this is very popular around the world, you can dress evil eye charms with rue oil. You can dress the little Stiga talismans with the rue. I love rue, and I will use it in any type of psychic self-defense. And in fact, my house, I have rue all over the place in hidden little spots.
That's great. Yeah, a lot of people like rue. Some people, the scent is a little sticky for them. Some people think Van is stinky, although I consider it a clean scent. And there are a few other of these, like mint, which Lou mentioned. Miss Michael in the chat room mentions Hindu grass oil, which is similar to Van, but different, a little simpler scent. So those are all good ones. And all righty. Well, let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat, and thank you, Conjure Man Ali. And thank you, Lou Flores of LouFlores.com in Guerneville, California, for being our special guest member from air this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Dr. E of HunterDoctor.com in Long Beach, California. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Jamie Lee, joining you from tripcronconjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you all. Thank you so much, Lou Flores. Thank you, Ali. And stick around in chat. We will be chatting a bit. Now, what we do there is mostly talk about food. I'll tell you the truth. If all of you guys who don't go into the chat room after the show, we discuss food. Sometimes we discuss the show, but mostly it's food. So that's a secret I just let out. Thank you so much, Lou. You've been a wonderful guest, and I'll be seeing you downstairs in a few minutes.
Thank you, guys.
All righty. And next week we'll have Dr. E. And thank you, too, Ali. You're always such a good co-host. Love having you here.
Oh, I love being on here with you.
All righty. Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.